This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Do you think we'd see more designed runs in the game plan? I don't mean just...
For me?
Yeah.
No. I'm not going in there to ask them for more design runs. So,
knowing you're going to run with the ball from...
I'm not trying. If I don't have to run, I'm not going to run. So I'm not trying to take any hits.
It's Deshaun Watson yesterday with the media talking about the design runs. Was that part of that call you got into yesterday?
Well, that was
the college offense call.
Yeah, I mean, that was a big topic for us over the offseason, how much he needed to run. And so far this year, it seems like the thing he is absolutely doing better than anything else is running. Now, it's not necessarily designed runs. They do have RPOs in their attack, but him just kind of feeling pressure and doing his Houdini act, that's been the best part of Watson's experience this year. I don't even think it's been close. So it's got to be tantalizing for the coaching staff to say he still has these physical gifts. It's the one thing that we can hang our hats on and move in the chains.
I don't even think it's tantalizing.
Yeah, but they're not going to run a Veer offense for him.
Well, that's never been. Yeah, that's never been something.
Because I think that's what some people are wanting, going, well, look, he's scrambling and getting away from pressure at points. Obviously, not every time. He got sacked 8 times last week.
It's because they're desperate. I'm desperate, too. I'm desperate, too. I think that right now people are ready to pull out all the stops to get anything out of him, and they're not going to like this answer. I talked about it with Gerard last night on the preview show, and I think he was right, and I think he's dealt with a lot of heat for saying it because fans don't want to hear it. This is their offense, and they are going to continue to pound this thing through until come hell or high water. That's all there is. I mean, I thought that they went back to some basics in week 2. I don't know what they're going to do here in week 4, but I think they're going to pound out this offense until they get it or until this ship goes down. One of the two. They are not, because they didn't have any time to work it in the preseason. So for us, like, yeah, we're in panic mode. A lot of fans are in panic mode. For them, they're like, wait a minute, we can't just dump this offense in the beginning of a season.
Right, you're only 3 weeks in.
And go back to what it was. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, that is one thing that I do try to have in the back of my mind every time we talk about how failed the offense is that this is an install, a build. Now, I know, where was that in the preseason training camp? Well, we just flat out know it just didn't happen. And I think part of it was they had a limited quarterback coming off surgery, and they didn't want to test it. I think that was always going to be part of this. I kind of predicted it. I hate to say it. Not a great I told you so, because it hasn't worked. But I do think that they didn't want to necessarily get too far ahead of where they necessarily were with his arm. His arm was, you know, did suffer, you know, a big time injury last year, and he had a big time surgery,
yeah,
which means a big time rehab.
Yeah.
And despite what they told us, which every step of the way was he's ahead of schedule, the people that were watching him were like, it doesn't look like he's ahead of schedule. It doesn't. Like, there's a reason he's taking all those, what did Jameis Winston call them?
Mental reps.
The mental
intentional
reps.
Leadership of mental reps.
I mean, you wouldn't be doing that if you were truly ahead of schedule.
Yeah.
Then they were not going to risk the season by putting him in a place where he was taxing, you know, that arm and that elbow and that shoulder.
So there was another point of contention here with a lot of people yesterday where he had said that Jordan Akins was a decoy on the fourth down. Now, we have that coming up in a moment. However, I want to hear Jordan Akins first, because when I heard this yesterday, I was just thinking, well, you know, we can be as upset as we want, but it's his word against ours. And I am not in the film room, as he says in this clip that we're going to play soon. But Jordan Akins did speak to the media on Monday. He was asked about that RPO play on fourth down.
I mean, it's RPO. You know, at the end of the day, he can give it. He can pass it. All of us was in the right positions. When it come down to that play, we just trust Deshaun to make the best play, to have the best outcome of that play. You know, like I say, that defense stunned so much, you know, and it can be confusing. You just can't put it all on Deshaun. We definitely wish we could have that play back, but at the end of the day, it is an RPO. So we can either run it or he can throw it. And next time, we'll execute it.
Pat Shurmur, I mean, Jordan Akins in the post game, or excuse me, on Monday after the game. You see, he doesn't say he's a decoy there, but he's not going to say he was a decoy because you're not going to give anybody anything about a play that you're probably going to run again at some point. So Deshaun Watson was asked about it yesterday, and things got a little tight. He was asked about the Jordan Akins decoy play and whether or not he's seeing the field clearly.
Because other people are not in the film room, so that not everyone know exactly what the read was. That was a decoy, so... That's the difference. Everyone can pause the tape and say, hey, you know, he should have thrown it here, should have thrown it here. You know, every quarterback deal with that. So if you choose one play and that's the play out of the whole game that everyone is calling, then so be it. It is what it is, you know. No one's in those film rooms. No one is making those decisions. So I go based off of what is Ken Dorsey and Kevin Stefanski are saying. And, you know, on that decision, they made a good play. They got jammed up on the slant. That's what we did it. The previous time when we scored a touchdown, I did the same as that read, and I hit Jerry. So, I mean, did I see it wrong then? You know, so for me, it's just, you know, like I said before, it's just I go based off what Kevin and Ken is making those decisions and how they're grading me on that.
He doesn't like being questioned about this stuff.
Well, he's getting defensive.
He don't
clearly
like
he's getting defensive. Someone who's gotten defensive, you know, when you're forced to explain something that you don't necessarily, you don't want to explain, or you feel like you're being unfairly targeted. In this case, you're right. The first thing is we weren't there. We don't know. There does seem to be a little bit of difference there between him and the Akins point. I'll just say this, Kenny, because I will never...
Seems to be a lot of difference.
Well,
there, buddy.
I will never pretend to be an X's nose guy, so I just simply ask people questions. So I sent out three different messages to people that I trust that have been at various levels of football. One that coached it in college, one that scouts in the NFL, and I've got somebody else who, if I told you who it was, you'd be like, all right, yeah, I think that person knows football. I don't think anybody would question listening right now. All three of them were
you
like...
You never tell me who these people are either.
No. Yeah.
I've asked.
Your
sources are protected.
Sometimes when I do this little crowdsourcing, I get all sorts of different opinions. I get an array of opinions, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to have to say that we don't know. In this case, all three of them got back, and they literally said either Deshaun Watson's lying or he doesn't know what he's doing. I mean, all three of them.
Lying's a high crime.
Well, because they can't believe that he would say that. They can't believe that it would be coached that way. Then they have the utmost respect for those coaches in that building. In fact, they know. Well, one of them's actually kind of been in the same circles as Kevin Stefanski. They're like, he doesn't coach it that way. There's no way. You have a quarterback.
Why would you take a receiver away?
You have a quarterback that's either confused or completely vexed.
Or one read.
Or they don't trust him. Or they just flat out, the coaching staff does not trust him to be able to go through normal progressions. And if that's the case, then we can all come back to the same point, which is this isn't going to work.
I don't feel good about that. There's another point I don't feel good about that. And it was also in his answer, which he was expanding on later on.